You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Victory Life Ministries welcomes you to our weekly broadcast, The Abundant Life, with teachers Al and Angie Burke. We are committed to emphasizing God's goodness and grace, as well as sharing biblical truths that will help you live a life of victory and peace. God's plan for you is to live above your circumstances, not beneath them. Understanding who you are in Christ, what you have in Him, and how to use what has been given to you will help you to overcome any trial you may be facing. Jesus' death on the cross was not in vain. He made a way for you to experience the abundant life He planned for you all along. Now, here's Al and Angie. Welcome to today's broadcast of The Abundant Life. My name is Angie Burke, and I am really excited to be here today. My husband took the day off. But anyway, we're going to talk today about our thought life and the effect that it can have on our lives in general, physically and emotionally. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and I'll start with that one. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then we're going to look at Colossians 3, verse 2. It simply says, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. So now, really, it's telling us to do something here. It's telling us to set something in motion. And it's telling us to set our affection in motion. And affection just means to think the same. So basically, what this is saying is, it tells us to arrange our mind to be in harmony with the spiritual or with God's word. But understand, it is totally up to us. God puts the burden on us. It's totally up to us if we do that or not. And I want you to think today, what has been on your mind? And what do you choose to think about on a regular basis? Because everything is laid out for us, good and bad. And it's all out there. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And that's verse 19. You know, it even tells us, it gives us the answer. God gives us the answer. Make the right choice and choose life. Now, as far as our thinking and our thought life, we are going to start by getting a little bit scientific, and then we'll get a lot biblical. You know, the good news is that science is catching up with the Bible, finally. You know, Al and I have read a book, and we're continuing studying the mind and the brain, and it's called Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Now, she is a born-again Christian, and she's also a scientist, and she has studied the brain and the mind for years. So let me just give you a little idea of the difference. The mind and the brain are two different things. The mind is where we think. It's where our thoughts are formed. But the brain is the physical organ that is affected by what we think. Okay, I want you to stay with me. The mind controls the brain. The brain does not control the mind. Because you see, most people will say that we're depressed or angry because of a chemical imbalance in the brain. But actually, it's the other way around. We have a chemical imbalance because we get depressed or we are angry. And we're going to go over more of that in just a little bit. But the mind controls the brain. And then the brain, the physical organ, controls the physical body. Let me put it this way. The brain is just a receiver of the mind. So we can conclude that it's real important what we think about because it will affect our brain physically, which in turn is going to transmit into our physical bodies. And I'll give you a personal example. I had a children's ministry years ago that began in my home. And the third year I was doing it, this is like an after-school program. The third year I began this in September during the school year, 75 children showed up at my home. And I did not expect 75 children to show up, but it was really exciting, really awesome. And part of the program was that at one point the kids went outside, and I had a lot of volunteers. They went outside to play and to do some sports, and I would clean up the house from the snacks, and then we would hear the Word of God. So all the kids were outside, all the volunteers were outside. I was home alone inside just cleaning up, and one of the little boys ran into the kitchen and said, "Miss Angie, Miss Angie, Johnny got hit by a car." Well, that, and then he ran out. Well, that instant, my body became incredibly flushed. I felt like I was 1,000 degrees. My body became very weak to the point of feeling like faint. I felt like I was going to black out any minute. My body was shaking. I was sick to my stomach. And all I could think about was the future. What if this? What if that? What if the kid's not alive? Lawsuits. My life is over. And it affected every part of my body. So my mind relayed a message to my brain, and my brain received it and sent it to the physical body. This is how powerful words can be. And I just sat there, and I couldn't move, and I did not go outside. And then 5 minutes later, a volunteer walks in and she's laughing. And I said very quietly, "I heard that Johnny got hit by a car. Somebody came in and said that." And she laughed and put her hands up and says, "Oh, yes, it was one of those little Tykes cars that Johnny went in front of, and Luke was in the car and he hit him a little bit. He just bumped into him." Now, when I heard that, my entire body got back to normal in a second. Those six words, "Johnny got hit by a car," right? I think that's six, turned my energetic, thriving body into almost roadkill. That's how powerful that was. And the words of life that brought peace and comfort were just as powerful in bringing my roadkill body back to the energized person I was just 5 minutes before. You see, our imaginations can run wild. Our minds will go anywhere we let it. And if we dwell on a negative thought or things on the earth long enough, the thought will become toxic, which can create physical sickness. So let's take a depressed person. Okay, a depressed person is told that they have a chemical imbalance. Now, years ago, I did not believe a person could have a chemical imbalance. I didn't really understand it. It was just a lack of knowledge on the subject as far as I was concerned. But I've learned that the chemical imbalance is created, and there is really such a thing. It's created when our thoughts become toxic enough to create, as Dr. Leaf calls, chemical chaos. Okay, so it starts in the mind and it ends up in the body. Now, here's a point I want you to remember always. We were made, we are wired for love. We are wired for the positive. This is the way God made us. And it makes sense because God himself is a positive God, and he is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And the Bible says that we are made in his image. So we are wired by, in, for, and through love. And guess what? The scientists today agree with that. But here's what happens. Now I want to show you when a fearful thought arises. 1,400 chemical and physical responses occur in the brain. Okay, they're like released now because they're trying to find this fear chemical, but they can't find it. See, they want to go fix it, okay? But they can't find the fear because these responses are wired for love only. They can only locate love. Fear is not part of our body. We were not made for fear. It was never meant to be part of our body. So because they cannot locate the fear, these chemicals now go into disarray, and this is what causes the chemical chaos, or what some call chemical imbalance. And this leads to all sorts of physical and emotional problems. Now, I know I gave you all the bad reports right now, but you know I'm going to give you the answer. But before I give you the three little tips I want to give you, I want to look at the scriptures in John chapter 13. We are going to look at the thought light of life of Jesus here. But now I want you to remember before we do that, I want you to remember that Jesus came as divine and as human, but he chose to put his divinity aside and operate like you and me. He set aside all the glory and honor that comes with being a king, and although he had all the attributes of God, he chose not to benefit from any one of them. So he operated like you are right now. He was trying to show this to his disciples all along. That was his point, that he was just like them, and that if they depended on the Holy Spirit like he did, then they could do the same things he did. And praise God, that is still for us today. But let's start at John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So let's take this apart. In this verse, Jesus begins to think on some things because it says, when Jesus knew. Okay, so he's thinking. He's thinking that his time is getting close. He knew what was going to happen to him and that he would leave this world and go to his Father. That was the beginning of this thought process. Knowing that his time was come, I believe, when he was thinking this, was an opportunity for Jesus to become fearful, because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says that in all points he was tempted as we are. So I believe there was a temptation for him to become fearful. Remember, we just stated that Jesus was in his humanity, so it would be reasonable to say that he could have become fearful, just like you or I would be. So he started thinking about what was about to happen, and he knew it wasn't going to be pretty. So also in verse 1, it says that his thoughts turned to his disciples. It says that he loved them dearly unto the end, which simply means he loved them forever. So he was protective over these guys. He was concerned for them and thinking about them because he knew that they were not strong in their faith and that they would despair and actually even desert him because of fear. They weren't going to take it well. So I believe here that Jesus was tempted to become worried and concerned and heavily burdened about the disciples whom he loved. You know, I think a good example would be a mom with little children who had just been diagnosed with a fatal disease, and she's told that she only has 2 years to live. You know, what is the first thing that mom thinks of? Her children. She would become concerned over their welfare. How would they handle not having a mom? Who would care for them properly? And should she tell them now or not tell them at all? And all these things would naturally come into her mind. And I believe Jesus could have begun to experience some of those same feelings because he was human. Verse 2 says, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So now supper is ended. And Jesus knows, he is still thinking, now that he is getting even closer to the inevitable, and he now begins to think of the one who would betray him. And if you go down to verse 11, it tells us that Jesus knew who would betray him. Now, before I go any further, I really think this is important. We need to take a little side trail here. How did Jesus know who would betray him? I mean, how could he know all these things that were going to happen if he put his divinity aside and just operated as a human? Well, I believe there are three reasons. There's probably more. But the first was that he was intimate with his father. The scripture says he only spoke what he heard his father speak, and he only did what the father told him to do. So he was connected as one with his father. And, you know, we need to ask ourselves, are we connected as such? Are the channels of communication open continually with Jesus? His was with his father. The second thing is that Jesus knew the Old Testament scriptures and all that was prophesied about him. An example would be in Isaiah 53, that he knew what was coming. And the third thing, I think, is Jesus operated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, all those gifts. And we, too, should operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we want to get the same results as Jesus. So even though he was human, he operated the way he should have with his Father. So notice all his thoughts so far. I noticed something about Jesus. He had all these thoughts going on, and he thought them over and over, and it was getting intense, but he never spoke them out of his mouth. And this is something that I'm going to teach in another teaching, but this is important. I'll just give you this to chew on. It's one thing for the thought to come into our mind, but it's quite another to speak it out loud. And there is something we can actually do when those thoughts enter, and I'll go into that later. But if we let them linger, and I'm talking about negative thoughts, you know, fearful thoughts, then they will eventually come out of our mouth, and that's only going to make things worse because the Bible teaches that we will have what we say. So let's look at verse 3 to 5. Jesus knowing, now he's still thinking, that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So now Jesus is still in this thought pattern. He's continuing to think because it says Jesus knowing. But something changes here, if you notice. Up until this point, his thoughts were going downhill. But here is where he makes the change. He remembered something. Jesus reminded himself of some things. Who he was in the Father, and that the Father had given all things into his hands, such as power and authority, which he could use anytime. So let's look at that again. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he came from God and was going back to God. So he reminded himself of where he came from and where he was going. See, he knew the power of those negative thoughts and what it could have done to him. But Jesus switched his thinking on purpose. Because we know that if he continued to think as he was thinking, it would have brought great fear and despair on him, as it would any one of us. So he on purpose changed what he was thinking. He had a choice at that moment what to do with what he started thinking about. And he made the right one. And this, what the scientists call this superposition. When you have a thought come into your mind, you have a choice what to do with it, and that is called superposition. It is a moment of choice of what you're going to do with that thought. But Jesus switched it from the negative to the positive. But what did that do for him? Well, it gave him the strength to continue to do what God the Father had called him to do, and that was to be a servant. He began washing the feet of his disciples, including Judas, the one who he knew was going to betray him. What love is that? And it also gave him the strength to endure great affliction for us. And Jesus also knew the end. Both verses 1 and 3 say that he knew he was going back to the Father. He knew what would be accomplished by going to the cross, and this strengthened him. We could look in Hebrews 12, verse 12, and it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." I love this. It reminds me of having a baby. I had three kids. And a woman knows that she's going to experience or might experience great pain in delivering her child and maybe even an uncomfortable few months. She knows that ahead of time. But she is willing to endure the pain because of the joy of having her own child. Now, the joy Jesus had was knowing that we would all be invited into his kingdom because of the cross, and that he would have many children who loved him of their own free will. We're not forced to love him. So you have to remember this, that when you go through trials, when we go through trials, we too must remind ourselves of some things. Some of the issues can be enormous, but this is why we need to, on purpose, get our thoughts lined up with what the Word of God says. So, and the sooner you do that, the better. Because sometimes I let a thought linger in my mind, a negative thought, for 1, 2, 3 days. And then I come to my senses and I said, all right, this is enough. You know, you don't even have to go 3 days thinking negative thoughts. At the onset of it, the sooner the better, because now you have to backtrack. Now you have to get rid of all that bad thinking and start thinking good. And that's a good thing, but the sooner the better. So rather than focusing on the problem and talking about the problem and trying to fix the problem, we should be reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ, that we are the righteousness of God and we are loved by him and he is on our side. And we need to remind ourselves what we have in him. We have the authority to rebuke and renounce symptoms in our body or any wrong thinking that's trying to make us fearful and paralyze us. And then we need to be beginning to use that power and authority. This is when we become unstoppable, because no devil in hell can fight that, because we understand and know that all things are under our feet. Now, the three tips, I want to go over this quickly, of how to change your mind to think spiritually. The first thing you need to do when you get that negative thought is to bring the thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. How do you do that? Well, you arrest the thought and replace it with a positive thought. You cannot get rid of negative without replacing it with the positive. You can't tell a young teenager to stop listening to music, bad music, unless you give them something good to listen to, because they're going to go right back to that bad music. And Christ obeyed the Father so we wouldn't have to have these thoughts. So it's the obedience of Christ. What did he exactly accomplish on that cross? You don't have to have these thoughts. You don't have to worry about your situations, because I died for that. And then we need to replace the thoughts, like I just said. And that goes along with renewing the mind, which is the second thing we need to do. We need to stay in the scriptures constantly, meditate on them day and night while things are going well in your life, till it gets into your heart. And then the third thing we need to do is to be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't mean give thanks for the situation. Never do we do that. We give thanks in it, because God is still on the throne, and we thank God for who he is. So you have to remain thankful always, even if you don't feel it. Remember, we were created for the positive. God created us to be thankful. And that being thankful is so positive and so powerful, and that's keeping our minds set on things above every moment of every day. Thanksgiving is awesome. But we got to be careful of the negative thoughts that we put in our minds. One lady had cancer. Somebody said, cancer is not the enemy. Cancer is not evil. It has no intention. It's merely a symptom. The lies we believe are the enemy. And the father of lies comes against us day and night to get us to join in agreement with him. And when we do, and sad to say, a lot of Christians do that, when we do, our lives show the symptoms of that agreement. Most of the time, we're not even aware of what we're agreeing with, and we don't understand that we have a choice to agree with the Father instead. You know, the word is choice. The word is choice. And as you get into the Word of God, you will receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that's what all of us need, that revelation from the Holy Spirit, that we can even see the source of the pain. And it's only when the Holy Spirit reveals that to us that we'll be able to see it. And then we're in that superposition again. We're faced with a choice. What do we do? What do we do? Do we surrender it to Him and we be healed at the source? Yes, that's what you should do. Repent today of all the bad thinking. God's not mad at you for thinking wrong. He's not mad at you at all. You are accepted and loved in the kingdom of God, and there's nothing He has against you. He's just waiting for you to turn to Him, to look to Him, to ask Him to help to reveal to you what it is you're thinking about that is creating sickness and fear and worry in your mind and in your body. What is it that you have let go of that has released all these chemicals in your body to create this uneasiness in your heart and in your soul? All this God is ready and willing to reveal to you. And He's right there with you. He has never left you. He will never forsake you. And He wants you to be free from the father of lies. He wants you to be free from believing the lies of the enemy that want to keep you with cancer and lupus and depression and sadness. Man, church, God is a good God. I could go on and on with this, but you got to take control of your thoughts. When you do, you'll come out of it like Jesus did, because Satan wants to get you off of the plan and purpose God has for you. But if you look to your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, He will take your hand and walk with you step by step to get you into the place of freedom. Because the only place that the devil can work in your life is in your mind. And if you agree with his lies, your life will follow in that direction. But God is a great God. Turn to Him. He loves you so much. God bless you. Thanks for listening today. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged, knowing that God is a good God and has only good things planned for you. And He's ready and willing to reveal those good things. Acts 10:34 tells us that God is no respecter of persons. So what He has done for one, He will certainly do for you. Why? Because He loves you endlessly. Our phone lines will be opened for the next hour. The number is 772-485-9098. That's 772-485-9098. Our email address is victorylife.aa@gmail.com. And our website is victorylifeministries.org, where you can find testimonies, audio teachings, books by Alan Angie, and upcoming events. Once again, thank you for joining us, and remember, victory is yours through Jesus Christ.